وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله برده شفيك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله to the listeners of BOC today.
Interesting that the Israeli authorities are now telling NGOs who have been working in Gaza for the last 70 years that they're not authorized to deliver aid. It's a huge, bizarre contradiction, isn't it?
I suppose nothing should be unbelievable to us anymore. We've seen the not only the extent of the devastation, but the ongoing genocide. You know, in the face of these protests that have been happening all around the world, including here in South Africa, literally every day, people have been standing up, masses around the world have been standing up against this genocide and speaking out against it. But it just seems that nobody can tell the Israeli government to do anything. You know, the occupation acts with impunity. And some of the actions, as we've seen over the last 22 months, nearly, have been really something unbelievable that I don't think any of us would have expected to see in the 21st century. This latest announcement of the occupation government that they will not allow trade or, sorry, allowed any aid into Gaza, despite the famine which Gaza is currently experiencing, it boggles the mind. It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable.
And I mean, what is making it so frustratingly insane is the fact that I've just counted that just only two aid organizations have $9.5 million of food waiting outside Gaza. One organization has 744 pallets of rice, enough for 6 million meals, blocked, can't get through.
Yes.
I struggle to have words to describe this.
Yeah, so ever since the blockade was imposed on the 2nd of March this year, during the month of Ramadan, the NGO sector in Gaza have been, for a while, we were watching. You know, in Gaza, most of the international NGOs, together with local NGOs, they collaborate and work together in order to deliver aid, not only because literally everyone in Gaza cannot survive without aid, but to access the areas that are safe enough for the NGOs to operate in. And during that first, I'd say, 2 months after the blockade was imposed, organizations were still able to do something with the aid that was available in Gaza, and various businesses also that had brought in, when the borders were open, they had brought in food products and non-perishable items that were then used to prepare food, in most cases because people do not have the means to cook food themselves, and then to distribute as best we could. But ever since then, and with the crisis escalating due to the shortage of food, and now since the 2nd of March, we are literally 5 months that not a single truck of aid, except what has been brought through and allowed through by the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. And I say Humanitarian Foundation definitely, in inverted commas, because the means and the method that has been used by this Gaza Humanitarian Foundation is not humanitarian by any stretch of the imagination. The local and international NGOs have been sending requests. In fact, in July alone, 60 requests were denied under some justification that these organizations, that, as you said, some of them have been working in Gaza or in Palestine for, close to 70 years. Some of the local organizations, Islamic Relief ourselves, we've been working in Palestine since 1997. So now for, over 26 years that we've been working in Gaza, we have all of a sudden, we are not authorized to deliver aid. And the reason, some of the reasons cited is that the NGOs do not recognize the occupation, So the situation, as you said, it's reached a proportion which really it borders on insanity. And despite these ongoing efforts and organizations having food available literally on the border, whether it's in Jordan or in Egypt, and some even that are willing to. There are some organized businesses in what we call the in the Israeli areas or the occupied areas that are prepared to send food across into Gaza. Even this is being stopped, and we are seeing people that are literally that are starving to death now. And on this World Humanitarian Day, as you said, you know, the slogan for this World Humanitarian Day is to act for humanity. You know, we are calling on the international community that, you know, to step up and to escalate the pressure that is put on the Israeli government, the occupation authorities, to ensure that aid is allowed into Gaza so that people can live. Yeah, but the situation is really very difficult at this time.
Something else that is shocking, and it's not always emphasized enough, is that over 500 aid workers have been killed by the Israelis. I know of NGOs that have been wiped out in Gaza because these aid workers were actually deliberately targeted because the buildings which they were using to distribute aid were bombed. Water purification plants, distribution points, etc., etc.
Yes, I mean, as we've seen just 2 weeks ago when the Al Jazeera journalist, again, you know, these stories hit the headlines from time to time, but it seems that nothing gets done. And after a very short period of time, the protest or, you know, the outrage basically wears off. And then only when another incident happens that the world cries out or international leaders make some kind of statement, you know, condemning what had happened. But now we even seen with the assassination of the Al Jazeera journalist, Brother Anas, just a couple of weeks ago, that there was justification. You know, the Israeli occupation army are now using justification to assassinate not only, you know, the civilians, but aid workers, journalists. You know, everyone is a target, you know, in Gaza. You mentioned about the aid workers, just like, you know, the number of aid workers, just in, if one was to look at since the last 5 months in 2025, 98% of the aid workers killed in Gaza were not international aid workers. They are the local people from Gaza, the Palestinians who work for some of, like for, as Islamic Relief. All of our staff working in Gaza are Palestinians that live in Gaza with their families. A few days ago, one of our staff lost about five of their family members when the home that they were living in was bombed. And this is an ongoing thing, and no one life is more precious than another. You know, but the aid workers are also like they are being killed because there's the excuses that they, you know, they're trying to root out some, you know, terrorist groups and terrorist cells. But as we have seen, majority of the people that have been killed over the last 22 months are not, they are civilians, women and children. And this is something which is really to be happening during our lifetime in the 21st century in broad daylight, literally real time in front of our eyes. Is something it's a blight on humanity, and I don't know how future generations are going to remember us.
Yeah, I mean it's really difficult subject to talk about because it's just so mind blowing. You know, one could not predict that we would have to be discussing issues such as this, and I'm sure you'll agree it's really difficult to know where this is going to lead us because it's taking us down a rabbit hole, and that is not good at all, is it?
Of course. I mean, like, you know, as we've been seeing in the news, the Israeli occupation saying that they are allowing aid in through this Gaza Humanitarian Forum. And despite that, since this Gaza Humanitarian Forum has been operating, nearly 900 Palestinians have been killed around the sites where the aid is being distributed. So, you know, like I said, some of what we are seeing, what we are witnessing, it is something that it is bewildering. It's that we are seeing this happening in front of our eyes. The world that, you know, everybody is, despite the protests that we see amongst the masses, but the governments around the world are not doing enough to bring an end to this insanity. You know, and we've seen which other country in the world is allowed to act with this type of impunity, which other regime is allowed to act with this type of impunity. We've seen the double standard, the double standards being applied, you know, when we compare conflicts in other parts of the world with what we are witnessing in Gaza at this moment. And, you know, for us as a humanitarian organization, we have to remain, you know, for obvious reasons, clear of any, you know, political, you know, kind of issues around what is happening. But it's impossible to completely divorce yourself from it, because the politics is playing an integral role in the actual delivery of aid. And, for example, some of the statements by other NGOs around the world, Islamic Relief was part of over 100 NGOs that recently signed a declaration to demand that an end be brought to the siege, because we see on a daily basis, we get updates every day from our team about the ever-increasing famine and the catastrophe that is unfolding on a daily basis. So, but it seems to be falling on deaf ears. And despite this, we cannot stop. We have to continue. We are doing whatever we can, but we call on governments around the world, we call on civil society not to let the issue of Gaza fade, not to keep on with the awareness campaigns, to keep on with being a voice, to, you know, especially the radio station like Voice of the Cape, alhamdulillah, you've been using this platform to keep the issue alive. We need to be doing this. We need to be constantly speaking about what is happening. And hopefully at some stage the pressure is going to, you know, reach a point where they're going to have to do something. Just yesterday, in fact, we heard from our team in Gaza that there was some talks about a ceasefire being implemented very soon, because there was some, you know, agreement that was reached. But again, as we've seen over the last few months, the ceasefire talks mean nothing, because it doesn't materialize into actual ceasefire on the ground. And, subhanAllah, I think you know, despite the doom and gloom, I think we cannot afford to let this despondency cause us to become, you know, just or reach a state where we stop taking action. We've got to do whatever we can. You know, we appreciate efforts of our local community in supporting organizations that are on the ground in Gaza. You know, alhamdulillah, you know, we've received amazing support from our community in South Africa that have been providing us with the ability to provide humanitarian assistance in Gaza. So despite food not getting in, there are still other needs that we are providing for. We are assisting in the hospitals by providing medical assistance in whatever way we are able to, facilitating that, you know, covering certain of the costs to provide medical assistance, the psychosocial support that is needed for the people that have experienced the trauma, whatever other humanitarian assistance we are able to provide. We are continuously, you know, looking at doing whatever we can under the difficult circumstances, and we cannot do it without the support of our community. So we are really appreciative to those that have been supporting us and continue to support our work.
I mean to that. Yusuf Mohammed, Islamic Relief International, but South African branch. Thank you for joining us.
JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Salam.